All right. Any final anyone you want to say hi to out there? We got about 10 seconds here.
I don't know. Hi to Kate again, because she said she likes when she hears her voice on the air. Shout out to Matthew, to Raph, to Jen, all the people that said what's up. That was really cool.
Cool. Well, I think that just about does it. Thanks for tuning in. This has been CKT 90.3 FM. Big Zan, if you got ears, we'll return. You got DJ Frog doing the last one of the month. I'm not sure who's up next week, but it's going to be banging. Have a great day.
The Spirit Walk is an annual fundraiser for the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal, Foyipo Fam. Register to walk and set a personal goal to fundraise for the shelter. All funds go directly to the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal towards their second stage housing project and Saradikitak Social Pediatric Clinic. Join us for fun, community-driven, even including musical performances generously supported by CKUT. Everyone is welcome. Bring your friends, family, and pets and come walk with us. Follow our Instagram at SpiritWalkMTL for links to register and for more information.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
With being in different spaces or locations during the pandemic or even now, I find it very interesting of like the spaces itself and the inhabitants who are like living in these places and trying to think about how like the space and the people like correlate with even what's happening in the world right now. And yeah, at some point I was anxious, like even being in these new spaces, sometimes spaces or like new places don't invite you, or you feel like maybe you're not supposed to be here. And in my practice, like with field recording, I record a lot when I'm in different places, but some places I don't get the intention, like it's not very intentional, like I really want to record this place, so it's not inviting me to be recorded. And I think it's because of like the situations that are happening there, or even me as a human being in this new geography that I've never been. So I try not to like have a I try not to like think about what will happen when I'm there. I just want to be in this space, and if the space sort of invites me to be part of it, I sort of like connect with the space in a way. Yeah.
So the sort of the geography relates, and sort of your emotional response to the people and the geography relates to how you process the sound in a way.
Yeah, it can be emotional, but also very social way of how things are like organized or happening in with the rhythm of the city, rhythm of the people, or even the nature itself. Like when I was back in Nairobi in December, mm-hmm. I was in this slum that I go a lot and record sounds. And
which area?
It's called Kibera. It's a slum in Nairobi, and I did a sound walk in this place. I've been there since 2018. Like I've been going back there, mm-hmm. recording sounds and trying to see the change that's happening within the geography or even the architecture of the space, because it's very transitional. And recording sounds, even having a conversation with somebody who lives there, mm-hmm. to explain or like tell me about what's happening more in a sonic context. And because, for example, the slum is very loud, mm-hmm. and there's so much like tension and precarities happening in the place, and it's maybe visually documented but not sonically like thought of. And yeah, it's something that I was interested. And even coming back to Montreal, it felt like a really good thing for me to be back here, because I was here just before the pandemic, and I made a record based on like a train station here. And yeah, just being back here again would be nice to visit Peel Station and just like think about how it sounds now or what's changed and what's new. Yeah,
it's a lot of points. I wanted to go back to Kibera. I know that that neighborhood in Nairobi, there's been a lot of campaigns, like even some photo exhibitions I heard about like police violence during the pandemic. There was some incidents where like the restrictions were being enforced by police in a very violent manner. I mean, I think it'd be interesting for people to hear a bit about that, because maybe they haven't heard what's going on.
Yeah, Kibera is like one of the, I think it's the largest urban slum in Africa, and it's in the center of Nairobi, and just like in between the city where most of the inhabitants live. And in political like context, like in Kenya's political like times, Kibera is usually like a huge focus, because it thrives politically with the people who live there. And it's something that I noticed when I'm there. It's a very communal slum that everyone knows each other, or like they know this is a new person in this slum. And when I was doing my sound work in December with one of the mosque guys who runs like mosque, or in charge of the mosque, when you were walking, he just said hi to like almost everyone, or like they know each other, or like they'd greet him and say ah ustad. And yet this communal aspect of the place is relatable when it comes to like Kenyan elections like this year. It would be highly policed, because they have, I think, so much power as like the community itself. And yeah, during, for example, in maybe 2007, where there's post election clashes in Kenya, Kibera was so focused because it has lots of people from the Luo community. And at this time, it was very tribal, based on like the presidency and the people being against each other. And Kibera has a higher population of Luo and like different communities, and yeah, it becomes highly policed. But also this, I think, is provoked by the precarities and like the high poverty of the place, mm-hmm. and the conditions of this, how these people are living. So they'd want like change in the government, and I think that's why they want to, like, they posit so much from the community and who, like, they really want to be in power for them, maybe to get help or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in the dynamics of economic disparity in Nairobi have grown a lot in the last 20 years.
Yeah, Nairobi is quite, like, different places. For example, Kibera is just neighbored by one of the richest, like, neighborhoods in Kenya, in Nairobi, called Karen. It's like a really posh neighborhood. And even something, just there's a huge wall that borders Kibera to this golf course.
Wall.
Yeah. So, like, children, like, not so high, just like this high. And I have a friend who's doing a PhD, and we were walking through this wall, and another inhabitant who lived in Kibera as a child, and how they were crossing the wall from Kibera to, like, this golf park estate. And yeah, like, economically in Kenya it's very varied, and there's so much that's happening, and it's also very visual that you can see there's high disparities of, like, living conditions of people. Even in the pandemic, this was very apparent, like, people were struggling. Like, even during lockdowns, when there was curfew in Kenya at 7 p.m., that was harsh for most of the people, and because people still need to walk, like, every day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that reality where it's not really an option to respect a lockdown when your income's based on the daily situation.
Yeah.
The culture of Nairobi and East Africa generally, but Nairobi specifically, there is such a history of interaction with, you know, the Gulf, with India, with, other cultural regions of East Africa, and your music, I can hear so many different influences, like... I know if you go more to, like, the coast of Kenya, there's also, like, such a history of cultural exchange. I mean, does that, like, maybe it doesn't, but, like, does that sort of, like, tapestry of, like, intercultural relations that have shaped Kenya play a role in what you do?
I try in my background, like, my music background, or I started with a very wide scope of trying to understand my practice, or, like, different cultures and different practices of music. So in my school in Kenya, when I was doing my degree, it was very theoretical, and learning different musics and practices from these communities in Kenya, or even in, like, the continent in Africa, and finding relationship of how... like, music was brought into Kenya, or how that influenced, like, the people living in specific regions, and how it crossed into different parts of the country. Mm. And having, like, this broad scope of knowledge of music from the country, yeah, you sort of try and understand your maybe for example my community Kikuyu, and how I can relate to that, and not try to be, like, very specific or very rigid about staying into, like, this purist direction of yeah, I just have to like do this. But like having a grounding in the knowledge of my community, of my, for example, my grandfather's music, or just like the culture that I've been brought up in, knowing this, and being open to expand on that, I think that's what's important, or like something that I appreciate that I got when I was growing up as a child. Yeah.
Oh, respect, respect. I also get a sense from your work there's that awareness of the intercultural sharing that exists in Kenya, but also globally. And, you know, you're here on tour in Montreal, but your work has, I know that you've collaborated or at least exchanged with artists in all sorts of places. You're based in Berlin now. When we did this Musicians for Palestine initiative, a few people had suggested reaching out to you, and that's how I actually heard about your music first. But why was that something that you wanted to support? I mean, there's a lot of issues going on in the world, and this one is seen to be quote-unquote quite controversial, at least in the past. It's changing, but why like what would, like, given what you've said about like Kenya also, like, what, yeah, any reflections as to like why that's something to consider from an artist's point of view, rooted in Nairobi but also exchanging with the Western world?
Yeah, I think this was provoked by like when I travel to different places and get to see what's happening culturally, and even just knowing what's happening in like different places, I always feel like this urgency of like provoking like this knowledge in any way, of making people aware of the of the happenings, because sometimes I think people are aware but not like very like accepting what's happening, or just trying to blindfold or not engage with what's happening. And I get this a lot from an Kenyan plus perspective, or like an African context, like in like just the differences of like Western culture and like and being someone from like Kenya. Like I see it a lot when I travel. I'm like, okay. And like from the Palestine situation issue, it's just like this urgency that needs, it's like one of the many things that people need to engage with, because it's still happening. And even what's happening right now in like Ukraine and Kiev, with Russia, I think it's important for like an awareness of what's happening, not necessarily like in this one specific place, because there's so much happening even in Africa, or like in different parts of the continent, and it's not being documented, or people don't know much about it. And I think as an artist, there's different ways to impact this, like either through this podcast or like different communications or a piece of art or exhibition that you can make this aware. Yeah. I think yeah, trying to engage, like, because yeah, it's sometimes it feels like it's like for the black people to, for example, in a Black Lives context, it's for like the black people to inform what's happening. But I think, for example, like during the pandemic with all Black Lives Matter context, there's so much awareness that people wanted to learn or engage more with what's happening. But yeah, it's just too much, like, to, yeah, there's just so much that needs to be unlearned.
Thank you. sound.
C K K
U
T T 90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
CC. تفكرت يوما بمعنى الصديق وأرسلت طرفي بفكر عميق ترى ما سيرمس عليه اختياري وماذا سيغدو كظلي رفيقي. تفكرت يوما بمعنى الصديق وأرسلت طرفي بفكر عميق ترى من سيرمس عليه اختياري وماذا سيغدو كظل رفيقي. وقالوا سيضني كبحث دقيق فجهزت نفسي لبحث الدقيق ركبت البحار وخضت الصحارى. هذا الهلال اللي على الفوز معتاد هذا الزعيم اللي يقولوا لوينه الفرق واضح كل يوم ويزداد الفرق واضح كل يوم ويزداد بين النوادي والأسد في عرينا بين النوادي والأسد في علينا إلا لها زاد المسافة والبعاد وجال يصدق فعلهم خابرينا إلا لها زاد المسافة والبعاد وجال يصدق فعلهم خابرينا. ياسر لعب لعب على كيف ما راد ياسر لعب لعب على كيف ما راد والله ذيب غبي فاقدينا والله ذيب غبي فاقدينا.
وعنك سولف ولي الناس يا عقد من الذهب والماس يا قصة حب مكتوبة قطر يا تاج فوق الراس يا شمس حيرت أقمار يا دار ما مثلها دار خلاك العز لدروبة وصرتي أجمل المشوار.
يا شمس حيرت أقمار يا دار ما مثلها دار قطر يا تاج فوق الراس
نعتز بك يا غلانا يلي جمعنا غلاك
يلي جمعنا غلاك
انت لنا وكل بونا يا ام الجمايل فداك نعتز بك يا غلانا يلي جمعنا غلاك
يلي جمعنا غلاك
انت لنا وكل بونا يا ام الجمايل فداك
يا ام الجمايل فداك.
وسط قلوبنا حياكم نفتح أغلى لرضاكم حي الذي وصال يا حيا
أهلا يا هلا حي الله يا من بالعيون محلى حي الذي وصال يا حيا
وسط قلوبنا حياكم نفتح أغلى لرضاكم
حي الذي وصال يا حيا
شرفت هنا وهنيا قلنا ارحبوا مثنيا
حي الذي وصال يا حيا
يا ضيف انت يا منورنا جيت وجيتك تسعدنا حي اللي وصل يا حي
اهلا يا هلا حي الله يا من بالعيون محلى حي اللي وصل يا حي
حي احد خطاها زايد الخير وراشد كل على عهد المحبه يعهد فوق الترى فيها عظيمه الشواهد للتنميه طفت جميع المجالات فيها الشؤون الاجتماعيه دايم تزرع الشعب الخير في ظلم غنم فكر وحضاره بين ارض المعالم تطوي بها رحب الزمن والمسافه
يا ديار gone too far to change. All my blood is in vain. Flash across your screen, got you in the lane. 15 minutes of freedom. Still can feel so bad. Still relax your conscience and disgrace your
isn't that? way live, then step aside.
Radio with Widget and my man Pro V.
All the way live from university.
Damn, my child. On CKUT. Nobody do it better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Gone.
CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM, every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Thank you very much for tuning in. Today's show is a continuation from last week, so interview with D Shade from Shades of Culture. Last week was part one, this week is part two. So during the show last week, we probably got up until, you know, Shades of Culture time, kind of did the history of Shades. And so when we start this one, the conversation kind of starts off where we start talking about collabos and other things. You'll hear it, but just to put you in the right